Well, thank you so much, Marcus, and the worship team for leading us into a joyful celebration of Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. It is such a joy to see each and every one of you here today, especially the over 200 newcomers and returnees after a long time being near or even far away. And I'm so glad to be able to see you to join us here today in the celebration of the Christmas season. And today is the pinnacle of all Christmas seasons. It is the Christmas Day. I wonder if you noticed something different about celebrating Christmas in a church as opposed to a shopping mall or even in the streets all around. While the culture of the world will talk about this notion of Christmas spirit, in the Church of Jesus Christ, we know exactly what that is. While the culture around the world today is calling us to think about more happy scenarios about Christmas, and that's why we have songs like, "Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And it seems there's no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow." Or "Chestnuts roasting on an open fire." All these scenes of culture draws in an environment where even though the weather is bad, or even though we are in winter time, we're all clogged up and put in a small house and we all have to get along, you know, at least we have family, at least we have joy. So at least let us have the Christmas spirit. But what really is this Christmas spirit? A lot of characteristics is usually tied to the idea of Christmas. For kids, of course, for Christmas, it's presents. For every Malaysian foodie here, it's all about food. But for Christmas, it means so much deeper, even in the world today, and more so we who believe and who proclaim the birth of the newborn King, Jesus. We in this world today, we yearn for this Christmas spirit, which can be characterized as things as love, joy, peace. And that's why within the Christmas songs that we sing here in church, we sing about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We sing about the joy of the Lord being our strength. And we sing about reconciliation, how we can come back together as a family. But what is the crux of all that? What gives us the notion or the vision to say, "Hey, I have a reason to have joy. I have a reason to make peace with my friends and even my enemies. I have reason to come together and find happiness, closeness, and love over here." All of these things can only roll out if and only if we recognize the gift of hope that Jesus Christ gives at His birth. So the greatest gift of all that is for all in Jesus Christ is that in the birth of the King, we have hope. Hope for a brighter future, hope for a better tomorrow, because in Jesus Christ, the best is here and the best is yet to come. I'd like to read to you a familiar story from the Bible. It's taken from Matthew chapter 2. I'll read 15 verses of it. It should sound familiar to you. We know of the story of the three wise men. We know the story of how they had traveled far. But I want us to get into the details and how we can answer the question of how is it that Jesus is the greatest gift of hope? How is it that Jesus is the greatest gift of hope? Let me read the passage to you. It says this: "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, or astrologers or wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star, and it rose and have come to worship, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. The answer is, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him." I need to put a caveat here. Herod wasn't going to worship him. Herod was intending to kill him. Let me move on. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When the wise men had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." This is the word of the Lord. Through this passage, how do we know that Jesus is the greatest gift of hope? I want to give you three reasons why I think so, why the scripture says so, and why truly Jesus is the greatest gift of hope. Just 3 points up front. For Christmas, therefore, Jesus gives the focus of hope, the foundation for hope, and the fuel for hope. The focus of hope, the foundation for hope, and the fuel for hope. How is Jesus the focus of hope? In the text we saw earlier, that a bunch of wise men went to Jerusalem looking for the Savior Messiah. Now I want you to know that oftentimes we think three wise men. But did you notice I never mentioned anything about three kings, three wise men, three magi? There was no specification. We think three because of the three gifts that Jesus receives later. But studies have shown, and by pure logic would tell us, that the crowd that was coming from the east to find Jesus in Bethlehem was in fact, indeed, a large group. Why is it a large group? Because it must have been so big a group that not only Jerusalem in the city heard of it, but King Herod was concerned. Hey, why all these people are coming over? Why are all these people coming here? What are they looking for? Then the astrologers, the Magi, the astrologers who come from the east, namely Persia and Arabia, they said, "We know in the prophecy, we have heard that at that star is born, at the lighting of that star, there is born a baby king for the Jews." The focus, therefore, comes to the person that is Jesus and all that which is claimed about him. And so when Herod asked for the scribes and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law to come, he's asking for information. Now, why would Herod ask for this sort of information? Two reasons. One is, he himself is not a Jew. He does not know the prophecies. He does not know what is to happen, number one. And number two, he himself was very much concerned and feared. He was not excited for a coming king, because why? He himself proclaimed himself king. And so he drew concern over this threat to his position as a king. Friends, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, we have two ways of responding on the focus of Jesus as our hope. We can be like the wise men. We can be like the astrologers, with a desire to go and see him, and through him we may know what is the hope that we have for the whole world. The Magi were not Jews, so therefore Jesus was not just Savior of the Jews, he was Savior of the whole world. We can be like the Magi and recognize that the world needs saving. Not just saving for a moment, but a hope that can go on forevermore. Or we can be like Herod, where the focus for Herod was not on the hope that Jesus gives, being the Savior of the world. He ended up focusing upon himself and see that Jesus might be a threat to his lifestyle, a threat to his vision, a threat to his rule and authority, a threat that he will end up losing at the end of his life. Friends, Jesus needs to be the focus of your hope. You need to draw your hope not from yourself, but from the Lord Jesus, who came not as a king, not as a fully grown man to judge the world, but a baby-born king to let us know that truly there is hope for those who believe in him. In this time of war and turmoil, I cannot help but pray for peace. And I look forward to one day that history, there's this one part of history that I pray that will repeat itself. Some of you may know this story. If you do not know, give me a moment to just share it with you. In 1914, it is a very memorable year. It was a very gruesome year. It was a year that began the First World War. There has never been a scale of so many countries coming together and say, "I yearn for your blood to be spilled onto the ground." These were the statements of those so-called great generals and leaders and politicians. But at the ground, among the soldiers, those who very much can feel and sense that they might lose their life that day during the battle, there was a lack of hope and an overwhelming feel of fear. Until 24th December 1914, something grasped many of the foot soldiers. And it was never an official thing, but somehow collectively, I say it's by the Spirit of God that drew the soldiers on both sides, the Alliance and Germany, whose background is Christian, whose background they remember that today, they remember what their parents told them, that my dear child, at the birth of Jesus, there is no conflict, there's no strife, there's no anger, there's no fear, because Christ is born. 24th December 1914, before the sun sets, soldiers waved the white flag for a truce. They met in the middle of the battleground and they started shaking their hands across enemy borders, saying, "Merry Christmas. Why not we celebrate, call for a ceasefire, and celebrate the hope of Jesus?" And you know, Christmas culture is so wonderful. Christian culture is magnificent in this way, that even though they come from countries of different languages, they are familiar with each other's hymns only in their home language. And so as they started sharing rations, some of them even played football on Christmas Day. But throughout the entire day, Men were exchanging notes. They were telling stories about Christmas and Christ, and they were singing songs of hymns. Many of them we sung today. Hark the Herald Angels Sing, The First Noel, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, are the famous songs that were sung in the trenches of war. Friends, when we put ourselves as our own focus of hope, we will hold on to our hope and defend our hope at the detriment of others. That we will hurt and harm other people just so that you may have a sense of security. But if we change our focus from ourselves and go to Jesus, who gave up his security, who gave up his royalty, who gave up his position in divinity, God came down on earth not to be served but to serve, not to demand sacrifice but to be the sacrifice that everyone may find peace. Many of us here are closing up the year and hoping for the new year. I would like us to think about all those moments where you had much anxiety and strife. And can I challenge you that maybe for some, if not most of them, you were facing that battle by yourself. And because you were facing that battle by yourself, it became such a disastrous place part on there in your life that you're just waiting for it to just move on. May I challenge you today to put your hope and focus on Jesus, and I promise you that which he had given for us for all eternity, we can therefore experience today, because we know that the end of all ages will be a glorious one in Jesus. That kind of hope affects the way we live today, but only if we fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the focus of hope. Secondly, he is the foundation of hope. In Jesus, only in Jesus, can we see worlds and nations come together in peace. Now, some of you may come up to me, Mark, what about the wars that is happening up in Russia and Ukraine? They're both Christian countries, right? Why are they still fighting? Mark, Christianity comes from Jewish roots. Why is there strife and wars going on in the Middle East? My answer still remains. They may go under the guise of faith, but they do not have the foundation of Jesus as their hope. Had they known that Jesus is their King, and not just the king of one country or the other, but for every nation under the blue sky, they would submit and turn away from their current strife for victory, because they would then yearn for peace in the hope that they have in Jesus. When Jesus was born, the Bible did not mince its words. We know who came and was born in a manger. The prophets had prophesied that in Bethlehem in Judah, there will be born a king. Because Bethlehem is in Judea, in the land of kings, where kings are born by monarchy, Jesus being born there is a proclamation that he is king. And like how Isaiah said, we said it earlier, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What does that mean? It means that he will bring all things together in his name. He is Mighty God, so there's a divinity in him, that there was not just born a regular baby. If it was just a regular baby, we would just take Weefies, Instagrammables, and put it up and just say, oh, how cute. But because this Jesus, who was born a baby, was no ordinary baby, because not just on the day he was born, but what he will usher in, he ushers in peace and reconciliation with God by his sacrifice. That is why the gifts that was given to Jesus, these three, were very powerful and symbolic in gesture. He was gifted gold, which is the gift of kings. Some of us may remember our sejarah in Malaysia, history in Malaysia, that last time for Perlis and Kedah to have peace, in their area, they will give a gift over to the king of Thailand. In Malay, do you remember what it's called? Bunga. See, the kids remember. Well done, kids. Yes, very good. Bunga emas. Bunga emas. Flowers that was made of gold and is given as a treatise to the king to say, King, because of this, let there be peace. The Magi were giving it to Jesus because they know that he is the king that will bring forth peace in the entire world. They gave frankincense. What frankincense is that it is a sap from trees that grows in the Middle East, and it brings a strong aroma, and because it's resin, it will also bring up smoke. And therefore, frankincense is commonly used in temples and in churches where the smell and the smoke represents the presence of God. Okay, smells really affects our mindset. When we smell something, it brings us a good memory. Like when we think of roast turkey, whoa, we think Christmas. When we smell siu yok, we think Jai Shen Dao. Okay, next year already, coming already, right? When they smell frankincense, we are transported to a holy place. And when the smoke comes up, it represents the presence of God. Because the Jews remember that when they were walking out of Egypt, out of slavery, and into the Holy Land, God had guided them in a cloud by day and fire by night. And that cloud, the smoke, reminds them of how the Lord guides and gives them hope. And the last one, myrrh. Myrrh is an ointment that's used even unto today in the Middle East. It is used as an ointment for the dead. It is a perfume that they will rub the body of the dead person before they put him in the tomb or before they bury him into the ground. Why would the astrologers give myrrh? If give gold, okay lah, very good. It give frankincense, wow, that's very high praise and regard. It give myrrh, bantang, you know. Why you give such a death thing? It's like when opening a new house, you give a clock, you give a knife to a Chinese family, they say, hey, bantang, mtak ka la, cannot. Why they give myrrh? Because even the Magi knew, even the astrologers knew, that the hope that the world looks forward to must come with the death of this baby-born king. Friends, we have to remember that when Jesus, this divine king, when he came down into this world, when the moment he was born, it therefore meant that he was destined to die. We're all destined to die, right? When we're born, we're destined to die. It's not a bantang thing to say. It's anikwan lo. It's like that. Happens. But what hope do we have when we die? What hope do we have when we die? When Jesus came into this world, he already destined himself to die. And he died in a most cruel and excruciating way. In fact, the word excruciating comes from the Latin excruciatus, as painful as if being crucified. Because that is how the Lord Jesus died. Some may ask the question, why? I'll tell you why. Because if God continues to live and demand sacrifice, all of us are doomed to die eternally. But because God gave his life to death, we may then now receive eternal life. What is the foundation of the Christian faith? Let me do first a side advertisement. If you like to know more about Christianity, I recommend that you ask your friends who invited you here to talk about Christianity Explored. there is a platform on the 21st of January. We can discuss very frankly what is it that Christians believe in, without symbolic gestures, without all these metaphors, but quite frankly, what is it that we believe about Jesus and His resurrection. But let me just give this to you today. The very famous verse that all children who has grown up in church, they will remember until this day. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that for those who believe in Him will not perish, but have eternal life." Let's see if you remember the next one. "For God did not come into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through His Son." God had come into this world not to declare death upon everyone, but death upon Himself, so that the death of Christ may bring death to the dead, may bring death to death, and thus we may have eternal life. But it takes for us to realize that our foundation of everyday life must be by Him. Friends, what is your foundation? Some of us may have been depending on retirement schemes and portfolios, hoping that the passive income will keep you going until you're 120 years old. But I wonder if that is a firm portfolio or firm foundation for you, or is it shaky? And some of you, especially the younger ones, your desire in this season is to make a name for yourself. And hopefully from making a name of yourself, people will remember you, all the good things that you've done, and maybe by that way you will live forever. But I'm sad to say to you that we Malaysians, or we humans, are very quick to forget. And sooner or later, our names will be forgotten. It's like being written in the sand. The wind of time will blow it away, and we will not be remembered. And even if, let's say you have it, let's say you're like Jeff Bezos, right? You have the money, you have the fame, but do you have eternal life? Do you have that immortality? The yearning of humanity is that I want to be comfortable, I want to be famous, and I want to live forever. But as age goes by, we will know that money will always get smaller, our health will always depreciate, and finally, we will all go to a 3 foot by 6 foot real estate 6 feet under. What hope do you have for the last piece? If you have Jesus as your foundation of hope, that too shall pass, and therefore life eternal is yours. And if you believe that now, that your future forever is in the hands of Jesus, it will change the way you live today. It will give you a life of everlasting hope. Finally, Jesus is the fuel of hope. It makes no sense that Jesus is only an end point and it's up to us to go and find after Him. But Jesus is actually not just the end point. He is the beginning, the now, and the end. That is why He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, who was and is to come. And He is here, not for anyone else, my dear friends, but for each and every one of you. He is the fuel for your hope. The last passage there is so interesting. That God spoke in dreams. God spoke in dreams. When the astrologers found out that truly that is the one true God, they worshipped Him and they gave gifts, but their hope did not end there. Their hope continued on. For when at night God gave them a dream and said, "Don't go back to Herod." Do you know how scary that might be? Can you imagine if the king summoned you and you don't go? How might that be? Especially in a totalitarian dictatorship in those days. They could kill you. But because the fuel for their hope is not in the reward of Herod, but in the reward of Jesus. They therefore heed the voice of the God in the dream and went another way. Joseph was also given a dream. And by the way, this wasn't the first time that Joseph This was not the first time that God spoke to Joseph in the dream. Ah, there we go. I need to try to say that again 3 times faster. Okay. This was not the first time that God spoke to Joseph in the dream. God spoke to Joseph in the dream before to tell Mary, to tell him that, Joseph, don't worry. The baby that your wife has conceived, though it's not from you, don't divorce. Because she did not have an affair. This is the gift through the Holy Spirit that he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And because he saw the birth of Jesus and named Jesus because he saves. Jesus means God saves. Because he saw that, when God spoke to him in the dream again, he heeded it and escaped to Egypt. And so that way, when Herod died, which is a couple of years later, remember what I said? Herod's hope died when he died. But the hope for the world continues in Jesus, because he didn't just escape and run away. He didn't migrate and got a PR there and become an accountant there. No, he did not. He came back into Jerusalem and then fulfilled the prophecy, out of Egypt I call my son. It is God saying, from the times of old when I saved Israel before, now through Jesus, my only son, I will save the world. He is your fuel for hope. Friends, I have this very controversial claim, but I think all of us who believe in Jesus, you know this to be true. That God is speaking. That God continues to speak until today. The astrologers came from Persia and Arabia and the Middle East. Until today, Jesus is appearing to them in dreams to say that he is the Messiah, and that's why they can return to him. And that's why without any missionaries, without anyone going over there to proclaim to proclaim Jesus as God, they themselves heard it, they themselves received it through dreams. And they recognize as God speaking. Friends, God wishes to speak into your life. God doesn't just want to forgive you and let you go. Because why? If he lets us go, we end up falling to sin again. But God wants to bless you, forgive you, redeem you, help you, and go with you. That you may hear his voice and then go in his way. And in his presence, you may have eternal life. Because this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus, the Savior, whom he has sent. Friends, are you listening? Not to me, huh? Not to me. I am nobody. I'm just a student of the Word. But I promise you this as a testimony. And it's not a difficult testimony. Many of us here have sensed this as well. As we are students of God's Word, as we are redeemed by the person that is Jesus, we will, without fail, hear his voice and see him guiding us with his loving hand. And for those of you who yearns that, some of you may feel a sense of lostness. Some of you may feel, I don't know what the future holds. Some of you may say, I don't know what next year will bring. With COVID cases increasing, will I be able to survive the next season? Friends, God wishes to speak to you that says, in him you may find life eternal. What does that mean? Jesus said it this way, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you will live. So physically you will go. But thank God that's not the end of it. Because then comes life that will last forever. And for those who are alive today, you will never really die. So friends, remember that immortality that you wanted, the frankincense. Remember that remembrance that you want to be remembered. The world may forget you, but as you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, he remembers you. And as long as He remembers you, then you have that pathway to eternity. So let Him be the focus. Let Him be your focus. Let Him be your foundation. And let Him be your fuel. Let Him be the one that you are willing to let go that which you thought could save you, and hold on to the Savior. Let Him be that foundation where no matter what happens, you're safe in Him. And let Him be your fuel. Let Him drive you forward, not just with the anticipation or enthusiasm for the next day, but with hope that will go on every day for the rest of your life. Let's pray. Let us pray. Friends, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, in reverence and in honor to God, I would like this Christmas season to be different. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, this is a private moment between you and God. I wonder if some of you, today, you are saying, hey, you know what? I need this. I need hope. I need hope to go through maybe the health, the ill health that you have, or the uncertainty of tomorrow. Maybe some of you are going through a time where you realize that I will never be good enough. That you realize that all your efforts would be for nothing unless, God, you give me hope. I want to invite you, the first thing first. When the Magi and when the shepherds saw baby Jesus, the one thing did cross their mind, that is to praise God because the Savior is here. I think one thing that should be seen is that it was a pure and spotless babe. It was a baby with no sin, so pure that even the most holy of people may look like dirty rags, may look like stained people because of the evil and the wrong that we have done. Now, some of you may come up to me, Pastor Mark, I'm relatively a good guy. I never stole, I never killed, I never had an affair, I never cheated on my taxes. But friends, when you say that you are relatively comparing yourself with other people, and we're all sinners, the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. So when we say that God is holy, He is spotless and without blemish, and the brightness that we normally envision Him to be is not merely because that He is glowing in light, but because He is so white that even snow looks dirty next to Him. And that's you. I want you to first, if you would like to receive and know that Jesus is your Savior, He, by the blood of His sacrifice, can make you that same spotless lamb. You can be without blemish before God. So that when God sees Jesus, He sees our sins. But when God sees us, He sees His Son. And now we may have eternity with Him. If that is you, do me this favor. I don't care whether you are a new Christian, or you are not yet a believer. This is your first time hearing this. And I don't care whether you are a veteran here. Mark, I've been here longer than you have been born. It's okay. Maybe we've come to a point in our lives where we say, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, save me. And therefore, be my Savior and be my God. If that is you, this is a private moment. With every head bowed and every eyes closed, I'm going to count to three. And I want you to do two things. In the count of three, I just want you to raise up your hand and say, that's me. And it also indicates you're asking, Pastor Mark, will you pray for me? Because of COVID, I would love to go and give you a hug. I would love to go and pray right next to you. But because of this pandemic, and let's make it easier for you to receive the love of Christ instead of any warmth of any person. So just raise your hand, and if you do that, I will pray with you. And I'll invite you to pray with me to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So on a count of three, don't worry, men paise, no one's looking. And everyone who ever sees will only be full of joy. Because why? We have a new brother and sister in Christ. We have one who's coming back to Him and therefore coming back to the family. If that is you, would you raise your hand in a count of 1, 2, 3. God bless you, sister. God, keep it up, brother. Keep it up, sister. Keep it up. Don't worry. Men paise. If that is what you want, it is say, Pastor, please pray for me. But Pastor, please, I need to know that Jesus is that Jesus still loves me, that God still gives me hope. If that is you, please keep the hand up and I will invite you to pray along with me. Pray. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. Is there some also on the back up there who is calling and say, God, I need you today. I need you today. Amen. Amen. Keep the hands up. You may pray with me aloud, or you may pray with me in your heart. But here are the words that I would like to invite you to say. Lord Jesus, thank you for being my Savior and being my Lord. God, I admit I'm not good enough. God, I admit I am a sinner. God, I admit I need you to save me. Thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, that through your Son, through His sacrifice, I may have eternal life. Now, O Lord, I commit myself to you. Be my Savior, be my Lord. Let my today be like no other day. Let my tomorrow and forevermore be with you. This I proclaim, and this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. If that was you, and you would like us to pray for you even further, or would like to meet up sometime to explain to you what God is doing in your life now, here's what's happening. The Holy Spirit is calling upon you. Why do I say this? It's because I know for a fact that only those with the Holy Spirit can say that Jesus is Lord. That's what the Bible says. And so if you would like to see how God continues to work in you, do me a favor. There's a piece of paper in the aisles there. It's a response slip. Here's all we need to know. That you're a new believer, that you said that prayer, I prayed and believe in Jesus, my Savior and Lord, do tick it. And if you have been a veteran and you've been here for a while, but you want to rededicate, there's a tick there also. You can say, I prayed and rededicate my life to Jesus. Tick anyone, tick none of them if it doesn't apply. But if you like to be contacted, put your name and contact number on the paper. And I love this. Let this be an offering to God for you. There are boxes that says tithes and offering at the back, upstairs and outside the reception hall. Just put it in, and I promise you, that is a sweeter offering than any amount of money you can ever give. Let me invite you, put that in so that we may contact you. They may pray alongside and journey in this new life that you have in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What a joyous day it is. You've made all our days here so worth it. Because why? You have come into this new life in Christ. We're now coming to a time of worship where we will sing the response song, Build My Life. And so for this final one, this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. For those of you who are young, or young at heart, objectively 40 below, but even 40 above, if you feel God is speaking to you now, this is for you. I would like to challenge you, young people especially, that would you submit your life to follow Christ? That would you give your gifts, you give your skill, you give your time to Jesus? And I promise you, your life will never be the same. That you will have an adventure, not just for this life, but for whole eternal life. How can you do that? How can I do that, you may ask. Let me put it this way. If you're a musician and would like to play music to worship God, I would like to invite you to the front that we may pray for you. If you are skilled in songs or dancing and you want to give that to the Lord, come forward. I want to pray for you. If you are at a crossroad in your life and says, you know what? I'm just graduating and I don't know what to do yet, but I want my first steps to be with God. Come forward. I want to pray for you. If some of you may say, I don't know what my gift is. Maybe it's organizing. Maybe it's knowing how to use AV. Maybe it's knowing how to use PowerPoint. Maybe it's knowing how to use a camera. Pastors don't know how to do any of this. But you guys do. And if that is what you want to do, that you want to commit your life to Jesus in that very tangible way, as we sing, as we stand and sing later in response, let me challenge you. Come forward. Let my elders, let my pastors, let the deacons here pray with you. And you and we will look forward to journeying with you to extend His kingdom for His glory. That would be my challenge to you today. So friends, now as we respond, shall we stand? Let us rise, friends. Let us sing for joy that He is worthy, that He is holy. No one else is like Him. And therefore He is the one that I will build my life upon. Can we start with the bridge then? I will build my life.
Let's sing, I will build my life.
And I will build my life.